entire state are not represented by lawyers.
Wow.
That's right.
That is incredible.
That's right. And in three jurisdictions in Colorado, it's as high as 60%.
Now, when you say screen, can you just describe that to us?
Play the film in front of, in a theater with those judges in Colorado, mm-hmm. for example. They see the movie, and then we do panel discussions afterwards for those types of screenings. They were all done prior to the film coming out.
Mm-hmm.
People have comments. The screening that we of the film that we did in Washington, D.C. in December, we had a judge come up afterwards, talk to me, and said, listen, I just want to let you know, I just need to say this to you. I've done all the things that has been depicted in this film, except I've never taken any money.
Right.
I've sent kids away quickly. He just needed to tell me, I guess.
Wow.
So you have to ask yourself, how complacent and complicit are all of us in the demand mm-hmm. to punish people? Like, we want blood, then we want more blood. And we're doing it with kids, we're doing it with adults. Like, when do we back off and say, what is the right way to try to deal with somebody who turns against society in some way? How do we deal with them in a way that they pay, say, for their crime? And what do we say about children who are in the learning stages? We have most of the kids that get into the juvenile system, they don't go back to school. In big cities, it's as high as 90%. They never return to school. Mm. They're paranoid about the law. They're scared to death of authority.
Right. They don't trust the justice system anymore.
No, they don't. No, they don't. And there's a path to the adult system. It comes within the way we're, you know, sort of treating our kids.
It's a pipeline.
It is a school to prison pipeline, and it exists. It's a term.
Right. So this is a systemic issue. This is not just isolated to this Pennsylvania community.
Well, that's the secret in the film, in a way, because this film is a small-town scandal rocks the nation. We follow these judges during a federal prosecution where no one knew we were filming them, including their own lawyers. So that's pretty sensational.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that story is alive from beginning to end. But what sneaks up on you in the film is this systemic issue, and this is what we do. Like, we don't really care about the way we're treating kids that have some issues. I mean, it feels like they're just bad kids. Juvenile delinquents.
Mm-hmm.
They should be punished for that. And nobody looks back.
Right. What is there something about the top-down culture in the American justice system that kind of promotes this behavior?
Clarify more what you mean by the top-down culture.
Colorado is a great example, what you said about, you know, how often a juvenile is not represented by an attorney. I mean, shouldn't the Department of Justice be looking into something like that?
Well, they are. I mean, we screened the film to the Department of Justice. We've had three big screenings of the film in Washington, D.C. One was the Department of Justice, 125 members
mm-hmm.
in their offices. Two was on Capitol Hill, a congressional screening with legislators and senators and congressmen.
Were they aware that this was going on in Colorado?
No.
Okay, so they're not even paying attention.
No. The people in Colorado aren't aware that it's going on in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in fact, in this case, when these judges that I was saying we showed the film to, half the job, because I'm up front, I get to see what the look on people's faces.
Right.
I believe that half of the judges in the room didn't know that. Oh, is that the statistic? Really? Is that high? Like that?
Wow.
Many people, that many kids aren't. You know, and it isn't limited to Colorado.
So each courtroom is kind of its own little kingdom.
Own little fiefdom.
Now that's dangerous.
To be a juvenile court judge, you don't have to require any special training to be a juvenile court judge. As a family court judge from Texas, who somebody that has really been working hard to work with kids and families that had come before her, she said to me, you know, two things I want to tell you. First of all, you don't need to be a lawyer everywhere around the country to be a judge. You could just be a judge in certain jurisdictions. The other thing I want to tell you is that the only qualification to be a juvenile court judge almost everywhere is that you just have had to have been a kid at one point. So if that's the case, and we're bringing, you know, our precious young, if you will, who are not fully developed, we're taking them in front of the court, and if the court really doesn't understand what they're dealing with, then they're going to make judgments based on adults.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, this is what I do in adult court, so this is what I'm going to do for you.
Wow, and yeah, like some individuals said in the film, you know, children are not adults, and they should not be tried as such. At the end of the film, the film mentions a secretive American institution. You know, 2 million children are arrested every year, and the disparity between, you know, spending on education and spending on incarceration. What do you think needs to happen in order to reverse this trend?
You know, I didn't know about any of that either until eventually, you know, you talk to enough people and you realize, like, there are alternatives out there, and they're really great alternatives, and they're typically in evidence-based programs that work not just with the kid but with the entire family. So these kids and families who have challenges, or the parents don't exactly know how to deal with their kid, who may be really spirited, or maybe they don't know how to deal with their kid because they have other socioeconomic issues, well, there are opportunities for those kids and families to be helped by evidence-based programs that, mm-hmm. that are community-based. And they cost about $8,000 a year per kid compared to $88,000 a year for locking a kid up.
Right.
And one of the problems is that the prison system has become very industrialized. And, you know, in a lot of communities, by the way, there's a lot of people employed by prison systems. And so that's one economic issue that mm-hmm. a lot of communities don't want to necessarily deal with. But the bottom line is, you know, we have to start looking at kids and families as a unit and figuring out what can we do to help these kids and families identify early. Second thing is, I think schools have to take a much broader role in helping to prepare a kid in a time when this is probably the most difficult time in history for a kid to be a kid, when you consider all the various things that compete for a kid's mental thinking,
mm-hmm.
that schools need to retool the curriculum so that there's education that's more mandatory, teaching kids how to be socially resilient, how to tolerate each other more. It should be as important as math and reading. And
right, it's more than just 2 plus right. 2 and what's a verb.
Yes, yes. And so until all that happens, I think, you know, I think that nothing's going to change. I think this is going to continue to move as it does, and the only people who are going to care about a kid that's locked up is the parents of that kid or the kids, somebody who loves that kid, because the community is going to say, oof, there goes another bad kid, and, mm-hmm. and divorce that kid of the community.
Right. Now, in addition to what you just said, I just have one more question. Do you have any advice for the state of Oregon?
State of Oregon? I don't know. I'm not familiar with all, like, I became familiar with what was going on in Colorado, for example. Mm-hmm. I'm not as familiar with what's going on in Oregon, although I guess I will be when we screen there. You know, I just say this, that I think that, you know, as the United Nations said so long ago on the rights of the child, you know, we need mm-hmm. to treat a child with special care because they're children. They're not small adults.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to take that in consideration in every move we make as we prepare kids for adulthood.
Yeah. Mr. May, you're doing this country a great service, and I'd like to thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
If you tuned in during the middle of the broadcast, I'm Justin Chapin for Prison Pipeline on KBOO. I was just interviewing Mr. Robert May, the director and producer for the new documentary Kids for Cash. If you'd like to listen to the broadcast, you can listen at our website, kboo.fm. You can also like us on Facebook. And I'd also like to thank our engineer, Danielle Parks. To wrap it all up, here's some Rage Against the Machine, Maggie's Farm, originally done by Bob Dylan, but an excellent rendition.
Gotta head full of ideas.